Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Liberty Dispatch Interviews. Thank you for joining us. Today we have quite a treat. I feel like I say this every time, and I'm not insincere when I say this, but it is a treat, in part because we don't bring bad guests on. That's just not how we roll here. We bring on quality men. And so we are very grateful to have with us friend of the show, brother out in Alberta, Tim Stevens. Tim is the pastor of Fairview Baptist Church in Calgary, Alberta. He started his ministry in January of 2014. Tim grew up on a farm in Eastern Ontario. That's where I am right now in Eastern Ontario. And he graduated with a computer engineering degree from Queen's University. Oh, in Kingston, that's where I am. There we go. And a Master's of Divinity from Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. He is happily married to Raquel, and they have 8 children. Brother, thank you so much for joining us today on The Dispatch. It's great to have you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Tim, Alberta is an interesting province. Apparently, you are the Texas of Canada, and your premier is kind of like the libertarian female version of Ron DeSantis. And yet, even though this is the case, interestingly enough, yeah, Matt's doing a little bit of closest to, of all the premiers, the closest to. I mean, who's closer than, all right. So, but despite all of this, Alberta leads all provinces in arresting pastors for keeping their churches open and arresting people for protesting, apparently within 100 meters of drag queen story hour protests, although no tape measure was actually brought out. So this is the cognitive dissonance that is the province of Alberta, super conservative, and yet we've seen a lot of this. So, you know, Tim, I don't want to get so much the comments on with regard to your thought on, you know, the Derek Reimer situation and thoughts either on him or his ministry, but more so this idea that within the province of Alberta and even within Calgary, this bylaw that recently passed that you're not allowed to protest a drag queen story hour within 100 meters, and the fact that Alberta, again, has arrested more pastors than any other province. What effect does this kind of stuff have on your church? What's the overall feeling of your people that on the one hand, we're in what appears to be a kind of conservative area, but yet on the other hand, in many aspects, the Christian message and obedience to Christ has been on the receiving end of quite a bit of scorn and persecution from the state. How's your church navigating this, especially in light of these last days?
Yeah, there's a lot in there. I think our church on the whole is doing quite well. You know, obviously we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne and he's ruling and reigning even now. And so he's going to win the day. And obviously, as we gather together to pray and hear the word preached, we're encouraged to continue to engage, you know, the lost people around us and to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in terms of the attitude within our church family, I think it's fine. It's going well. In terms of the temperature of what's happening in our province today, you know, as you mentioned, there's a variety of voices. And I think what we've seen with our current premier, with previous premiers is they know what to say to appeal to a conservative base, because there is a lot of conservatives here in Alberta. But at the same time, when they actually rule or exercise their authority, they don't necessarily keep their word. And so I think we're even seeing that now. Of course, the problem is, you know, the enforcement is not done by the premier or by people in her office, but you know, through groups like Alberta Health Services or other police groups, where we all know that in the tops, the upper echelons of those groups, woke gender ideology has completely pervaded and overtaken those top positions. And so it's actually those organizations, whether that's Alberta Health Services or whether it's local police force or provincial police, they're the ones really that are driving, you know, this enforcement against any protest against the new gender ideology. And the thing is, of course, you know, some of the things that have happened here in Alberta, of course, have brought attention to it. But I think what we would all expect to see, or what all hope to see, is, you know, even if we know the school across the street is pushing gender ideology upon our students, if it's, you know, maybe it's the big mega church down the road that's doing the same thing, we shouldn't be taking the tactics of the left comes in and is loud and angry and trying to disrupt and protest. And so, you know, barging into schools or barging into other religious institutions, I don't think is the way we ought to be handling it. And so, so our church has sought to do a much more positive thing, of course, encouraging our families to be faithful in their marriages, to equip their children, but then also be speaking the truth in love, but in boldness and clarity in this culture that is under a mass delusion, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Have you heard about the just quick this? I mean, this just kind of really just broke today. The Ontario NDP, the legislation they're putting forward. I'm sure you've, being an Ontario boy at heart, have you heard about that and what the punishment for that is?
Is that the same idea? I think here in Alberta, where you almost want like a bubble zone or a safe zone around certain areas.
So what? Yeah, so what's interesting?
No dissenting voices.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about our two provinces is where Alberta leads the way in terms of arresting pastors. Ontario seems to be leading the way in terms of fining pastors. Like the friends of ours that have the fines that are still looming over their head are in the millions and tens of millions of dollars. And it seems to be that's the difference. That it's Alberta, it's put them in the paddy wagon and get them right to jail. Whereas in Ontario, it's no, let's just fine them into oblivion. And it's a $25,000 fine for harassing a drag event in Ontario. So I don't know which one is worse necessarily, but both of our provinces lead the way in terms of debauchery in the country. That is most certainly the case.
Mm-hmm. And both of your comments lead nicely into why we wanted to have you on today, Tim, to talk about this latest initiative that you're doing, this latest ministry that you're engaged in as a pastor, speaking into this hot button cultural issue that we have seen explode throughout our country and the United States as well. Drag Queen Story Hour, Jay King Story Hour, or whatever it might be. You guys are doing an initiative called Readings from Royalty, and you're directly trying to juxtapose what's going on from the LGBTQ activists in libraries with a Christian alternative to that drag queen, drag king story hour. So maybe you can speak about that, and then maybe you can help allay some fears of Christians, Tim, who might be like, Tim, man, have you not created enough trouble in Alberta? You're getting thrown in the clink. You're doing all this stuff, and now you're poking your finger in the nose of the LGBTQ community. Why is this issue so important that you deemed it necessary to take time out of all the things that you're doing to launch this new ministry?
Yeah, I guess there's a number of things. First off, if it was just some old men, you know, carrying out their fetish to dress like a woman and to do the kind of things they're doing, you know, that's one thing. But to bring that ideology into libraries, into schools, to be parading in front of children, trying to normalize this before children, that's a real problem, because this gender ideology is very harmful. We all know about, you know, the puberty blockers, you know, transition surgeries. You know, kids are being mutilated. They're working sexual organs the way that God has made them are being hacked to pieces by doctors, and they're going to be on a lifetime of medications and helps. And of course, we know it doesn't really help them mentally. You know, suicides are still skyrocketing on antidepressants. So it's just carnage because of this false ideology, and so many are afraid to speak up about it. And so we have to speak up about it. We are the church. We're the pillar of truth. And so if we're not going to proclaim the truth, and one as basic as male and female, then who will? And so since these drag queens are essentially a parody of womanhood, and they're a parody of what is true in terms of reality, you know, they're having these story hour events. We thought, well, we'll do a parody of a parody. And come, and rather than doing a drag queen story hour, come have pastors, come have men, fathers, come and read to children, and invite that to anybody else who wants to come and read stories about the beauty of boyhood and girlhood, and how God has made male and female, and the beauties of that, and celebrate what God has done. We think that's much more of a positive way to push back against this and to embolden other people who might not be willing to speak out, but yet might come to one of these events and just be encouraged that even though it seems that those who believe in binary genders of male and female, seems that we are in the minority and we're the dissenting voice. I think overwhelmingly we're in the majority, and it's important for us to speak out, especially for these children, lest they're going to grow up and regret, you know, this life-altering surgeries that they're going to go through, and how much will the church regret in years to come not speaking up against this issue that is so vital to our society.
Absolutely. And you make no exaggeration when you talk about this drag queen story hour being kind of a wedge issue into this broader agenda of queering the norm. I'm looking at a dissertation called Drag Pedagogy: The Playful Practice of Queer Imagination in Early Childhood, and that's written by Harper Keenan and Little Miss Hot Mess, who's a drag performer himself, and it is all about how we need to disrupt this concept of childhood innocence, which is a hedge, like it's the bourgeois Christian idea that children's innocence is something that needs to be protected. And instead we need to disrupt it by giving generative themes as we present in Drag Story Hour. So then we can take the norm and queer it, and change that. So then we're infusing this queer Marxist view of the world in on little children. And that's why I think you make a good point that this is, at the core, it's another religion that is trying to subvert God's created order. And as a pastor, you're saying we can't let this go on as Christians in our society without declaring the truth in this space. So we're appreciative that though this is a hot button issue and you can get a lot of backlash and even fines, as Andrew's making out to be the case, or jailed potentially, you're stepping in this arena, and I think it's super important.
Yeah, I think it's important as Christians, you know, we are against pornography, but it's because we love women. We're against child abuse, and it's because we love children. And we're against this woke, radical gender ideology because we love humanity. We love our neighbor. And so we were so many calls over the last few years, you know, love our neighbors. And so this is loving your neighbor, going and telling these people the truth. This is harmful. These ideas are so damaging. There's a delusion that's going on around us. You know, we don't know what male or female is anymore. If there's anything that we not only have the truth from God's word, but the truth that we see in creation, in biology, in our chromosomes, this argument is not one that we're going to lose. And so we must get out there and we must speak for the sake of those who are succumbing to these lies. And so, you know, it's not so much we're trying to war against, you know, drag queens or these other groups, but it's especially the children and those who are learning about this ideology, and it will do untold harm to them. And so it's part of our Christian witness to be truth bearers, our Christian witness to love our neighbor, to show compassion, that we must speak. And if it means fines or imprisonment or anything else, well, that's a cost we must pay. But you're not looking to that. You're looking to what is true, what is right. How do I love my neighbor? That's being a faithful Christian.
And the war is against the ideology. I think that this is the red herring, right? This is the straw man that's thrown out. It's you hate the person and you have animus towards the person and you're transphobic and you're a bigot. And what we're trying to, and obviously we hate the fact that they are involved in something that we're supposed to be opposed to, where we're supposed to protect the innocent from being led to slaughter. That's Proverbs 24, right? The one who's on the way to destruction, we're supposed to prevent that. And anyone who would encourage that destruction, they are an enemy in a sense, but the war is against the ideology. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians. We're supposed to come against and tear down all strongholds that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, and we're supposed to take those captive and say, no, you're not true, you're a lie, you're evil. It's the ideologies, it's the thoughts. It's the that's what we're warring against. And this is why your point, Tim, and the initiative is so appropriate, because it's not about protesting the drag queen story hour performers. It's about an all-out assault on the ideology that is destroying lives and that is ruining children. And in kind of glorious, ironic fashion, the one thing that the LGBT rainbow mafia can't do is reproduce themselves, right? So you have 8 kids. We have 3 kids. Matt has a daughter. So here we are reproducing ourselves with children. And this is one thing that is uniquely a part of the creational order and design for marriage and sexuality. So people who are coming after children, they're not going after their own children because they don't have any. They have to come after our children. And so we're not only defending our children and protecting them, but we're also seeking to save those who would otherwise be destroyed, who in 10, 15, 20 years will realize, oh, I can't have kids of my own. And so this is a uniquely Christian mission. This is the church must take this seriously, and not just, you know, as even you said when you were preaching at the Church at War conference, we just preach the gospel in the four walls of the church and that's it. No, that's obviously not what we're supposed to do. And you would even speak against that clearly, or going outside of the four walls of the church. How can people find out more, get involved? What can people do? So not just within kind of the Calgary area. So where can we point people to find out more, to get involved? But after that, how would you encourage logistically? So even walk us through the process of setting this up a little bit, so that people who are listening in other cities might find themselves saying, well, maybe I could do this too. Maybe I could talk to my pastor. Maybe I can connect with my church. How would you counsel them to, in like manner, be doing this biblical, God-honoring kind of activity?
Yeah. Well, as they're part of this truth war, the spiritual war, religious war, cultural war, whatever you want to call it, it's important that the leaders of churches take an active part in organizing Christians such that we can speak the truth in this perverse and wicked generation. So what we chose to do, anyone can actually do, you know, there's libraries in every city across our country. And any group can come and book a spot in the library. And if they discriminate against us because of our religious views, well, then immediately you can make that known and just show the partiality and the bias that exists. But at this point, you know, you can still go book a public space and then promote it, you know, invite people to it, advertise it. And I think we'll have many more parents wanting to bring their kids to a story hour that affirms God-given gender and sexuality, then you'll have these parents, unfortunately, who bring their children to go see a perverted old man read stories to them and just do all other kinds of acts of perversity. So I think you could do this anywhere in our country, anywhere around the world, you know, just book a public space, get in there, promote it. And this is an opportunity then for Christians who might not necessarily have a way to speak into these issues, can have a time just gathering together and just let people in that city or in that area know that there are Christians here that love the way that God has made male and female, and we're not going to continue to cower and hide and remain silent when you have, like you say, another religion that is bent on the destruction of humanity. And I just go back to something you said previously. I think we need to understand how important this issue is, and it's not going to go away. Because you consider, you know, with all these surgeries and all the chemicals and the lifelong hormones that people will get as they go through some kind of gender transition, at least try to, you know, all that money is going to, you know, medical companies, and not only that, but as you mentioned, there's no reproduction that comes naturally to the LGBTQ community. And so again, that's going to rely on the medical establishment to come and to use other means to produce children. And so you just follow the money, and you can understand why so many big businesses and corporations and big tech and big pharma are pushing this agenda, because they are profiteering off the lives of these children, of these men and these women that are mutilating their bodies and being dependent upon these companies. And so it's important for us as Christians to speak out and to do it now before there's even more carnage and damage in our society.
Yeah, and we've seen the fruit just from the Biblical Sexuality Sunday, right, Andrew? Where we had one pastor in a church in Gibson's, BC, who dared to speak on biblical sexuality, spoke into the life of a girl who was in the process of, or had kind of already transitioned. And that truth came to bear on her heart and her mind that she would flee that dangerous ideology. And now she's speaking out against it and for the goodness of God's created order. And it's what you're talking about, Tim, churches engaging in the idols of our hour, in the culture, that then gives us the opportunity to speak the truth into that area, but then also to love on those people who might have a misapprehension of what we're trying to do, but then who might also be ensnared to these false religious competing ideologies. And I think so many of the times as churches, we try and think up and hatch all these, like, how are we going to finally do evangelism? How are we going to finally go out and have a conversation about Jesus in our culture? And it's like, well, I know from doing pro-life activism, I've had so many conversations with people about Jesus Christ and his saving power just by talking about abortion, because that's an idol of the age. You go, you speak about it, it creates a confrontation, and then you're able to bring the word of God to bear into that situation and minister to people's lives. You know, we don't need all these 10-step programs if we would just look at the idols of our age, like Paul did, denounce them, and then proclaim the gospel. So I'm so thankful that you're doing that. And I hope that you are on the leading edge of many other churches partaking in events like this to try and get the truth of the word of God out into the public sphere. So
and
good,
Tim,
on that.
Thanks for just even practically, like, you know, even as you were saying, well, anyone can do this. It's not really that difficult. So, I mean, we know that, but the reality is I'm sure that there are whole swaths of Christians in Canada who are thinking, no, I can't. That's that the Rainbow Mafia has already taken that ground. There's no room for us in the libraries. They don't realize, no, it really is quite as simple as contact your local library, contact them about public events and booking certain rooms and times for doing things. It really is that simple. And having someone simply say, it's really a phone call or booking something on a website, hopefully will inspire people to get a little more involved in this. And so we'll throw it up now. We'll also make sure to link this in the interview. We're going to link to the website. We're going to put the graphic that you sent us as well. For more information, people need to go to fairviewbaptistchurch.ca/storyhour. That's fairviewbaptistchurch.ca/storyhour. It is readings from true royalty, right? In very prophetic fashion, right? You're not telling the prophets of Baal that their God is relieving himself, but what you're telling the prophets of the Rainbow Mafia is that their queens and kings are no queens and kings at all, but there's only one king, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Elijah would be proud with the name that you have chosen. I can say that with certainty. Tim, while we have you on, before we let you go, I would love for you to drop a little bit of spicy spice on us and tell us just a little bit of a taste of the conference that's going to be happening in your church this coming October. There's been some murmurings on social media. Give us a little bit more if you can. Maybe give us some exclusive information that no one else has had recently so that we can let everyone know that this is where they find the spice.
Yeah, we're organizing a conference for late in October, October 19th to 21st. You can go to kingandkingdom.ca to find out about that. But we have, you know, a good group of Canadian pastors, myself, James Coates, Jacob Rayom, Steve Richardson coming, and well as a few American and notable names, Steve Lawson and Justin Peters coming up as well. And I just finished confirming all of our breakout sessions. We have a number of individuals coming and speaking from a variety of realms, because the whole idea of the conference is that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. and that it, part of his kingdom advance and living in his kingdom includes living every aspect of our life underneath his lordship. And so we'll have, you know, a medical doctor, a cardiologist, local cardiologist coming to speak, a lawyer as well as other pastors. And so just very, very thankful for those that are happening. And for one thing that, you know, something juicy, especially for pastors in the area, pastors able to come to the conference, Dr. Steve Lawson, of course, he's noted as a great preacher and does a number of preaching workshops around the world. And so during one of the mornings of the conference for 3 hours, for pastors, elders, aspiring preachers, you'll have 3 hours of Dr. Steve Lawson just coming through and giving you a tune-up on expository preaching and really just lighting a fire underneath you. So that's a real encouragement. We want the pastors in the area to come out and to participate in that. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of the conference and, of course, all the preaching and the time of fellowship. And so we're really anxious to see all the details come together for that.
Yeah, and he's American. Exciting. So 3 hours with Steve Lawson, when you convert it to Canadian hours, that's like 5-6 hours worth of Steve Lawson. So we're getting like
three
half a day worth of Steve Lawson. Yeah, with the conversion rate. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll be walking out of that class just waiting for a pulpit ready to preach. That's how anytime you're under one of Steve Lawson's classes, you just want to get behind the next pulpit and just thunder it, and just preach it.
Yeah.
And I imagine that will be the case.
And I can attest to that because I've gone to Ligonier, four of the last 5 years, and he's always there faithfully preaching. And it's like every time I hear him speak, I'm like, man, I think I need to finish my pastoral degree because I need to get behind the pulpit because he does really, really fire you up. And just by opening the Word of God and going through it verse by verse, he lights that fire under you. So I can attest to that.
Instead of health clinics and kind of stores where you walk in and there's a box of masks to cover your face so you don't spread the flu, for Steve Lawson's class, is there a box of veils at the exit so as you're walking out, your face shining doesn't blind everyone? Is that what he offers? The radiance doesn't throw everyone off as you're driving? In the same way that the mask person throws me off when I'm driving and I see them driving, I almost crash my car out of shock. We don't want people dying of the glory of the unveiled face.
Glory.
Yeah, coming out of...
Yeah, well, that's a good idea, Andrew. But I think in our case, we'll just leave the veils away because I think Canada needs some fire and some heat, some salt and some light.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll send out these guys as matches ready to be burnt for Jesus' sake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen, brother.
Tim, well, it's always great to chat with you, man. It is always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been good. And I look forward to hearing the report after the first readings from True Royalties. I'd love to touch base with you and see how that went. And by God's grace, there will be more and more pastors in Canada that will do exactly this kind of thing, which is a seemingly small, right? It's not a big thing. It doesn't take a ton of work and a ton of money, but yet it is a big thing. We understand that this is a big thing in terms of its place within this broader cultural spiritual war. So Tim, thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to have you.
Until next
time. Yes, thank you guys.
Yeah, till next time, everybody. Galatians 5:1.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.